Hype and Nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
New rule. No one is allowed to listen to this pod at 1.3 speed, 1.5 speed, 2x speed.
Why?
I'm putting a tracer in this file. And if I find out anybody out there is doing it, you're all getting handwritten cease and desist letters from our legal department. Welcome to Hyper Nonsense, where the podcast comes to you straight from the heart of California. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm surviving. Let's leave it at that.
We are excited for a number of reasons. The first reason, that's right, we're Starbucking it. I don't know if you can hear the rattling of ice cubes in my delicious Starbucks beverage. But we are also excited to say we have our first ever guest in this version of our pod project. Say hello, guest.
Hello, guest.
Hey, everybody. It's Matt Sams on the line from an undisclosed secure bunker in Illinois. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys?
Yeah, you know, doing okay. Doing all right. So we, Matt has actually technically been on the podcast before. That was when we were operating under the No Market Radio brand. Well, I think that was back in 2012, so that's like eons ago.
Yeah.
And Matt, we've mentioned Matt before. He leaves us a hilarious comment sometimes on our posts. We actually read one on the last show. So, Matt is a musician, right, Matt?
Technically.
And Matt has started on a massive project this year. He is doing a 365-song project for the year 2014, and I believe, Matt, as of today, you've released song 239. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So you're about 75% of the way completed. I think we figured that out roughly. You have 120-some-odd days to go.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So let's... Let's go back to the beginning of this, and when did you first decide you were going to record one song every day for the year?
I think I got the idea in early December of last year. I decided to go with it, like I decided I was going to do it around the 17th or 18th. It was, oddly enough, it was about when Beyoncé released that secret album. You know, with no promotion beforehand.
Oh, right. The one that was just there on iTunes one day.
Yeah. And this newsletter I read, the Left Sets
report. Left Sets, yeah. I knew you were going to say that. Go on.
Yeah, he was talking about how, oh, well, this is going to be a flash in the pan and nobody's going to care about it in 6 months, which, you know, is true because nobody really talks about it anymore.
Right.
But he said today's draw is the constant content. Everybody has to have constant content. And so I'm like, hey, you know what? I started working on an album, a new album, last fall. And a friend of mine was, I can't believe you wrote and recorded that all today. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? That wasn't that hard. And so I'm like, well, hey, if people want constant content, I'll give them a brand new song every single day.
And thus you started on January 1st. And I remember seeing you tweet about this. And I thought, well, that is an ambitious project. Jen and I actually...
I know where you're going with this one.
I think it was 2009. We took part in... I don't know, Matt, if you've ever heard of the RPM Challenge. But I should have told you about it because technically you did it this year. And you probably could have gotten some extra publicity out of that, but I didn't think about it at the time. But
damn it!
Yeah, I know. But the thing about RPM challenges, the goal is to record an album in the month of February. And the rules are, if I remember correctly, you have to record either 10 songs or roughly 40 minutes of, like 40 or 45 minutes worth of material. So obviously, Matt, in your case, you knocked that out by the 10th day of the month.
Pretty much.
Well, yeah. Jen and I tried this 1 year, and I think we got up to 4 songs done.
Yeah.
And
I think you're right about
looking
that.
Looking back on it now, what I think I realized was, and part of it too is, you know, the rules for RPM Challenge are you record your album. They're not necessarily saying that you have to write and record an album. It's just that you have to record it. So, you know, like we came into it with a few songs that were already written, but everything else needed to be written. And we were just going about that kind of slowly. And I don't know, I was probably taking too long to actually get all the instrumentation down. But, you know, the goal of RPM Challenge is to say, okay, February is the shortest month of the year, so you're going to record an album and you can't belabor the work. You can't sit here and go, well, I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to take a week to master my snare drum sound. You know, you don't have that kind of time. So, and man, in your case, where you're recording a new song every day, and I know I've been listening through your songs so far. I haven't gotten through all of them. I'm on about mid-July right now. So one of the things that I was impressed with what you've done here is you've done, you know, more or less full instrumentation on all of your songs. Because I see people that do these kind of challenges, and usually it's just a matter of, you know, they sit in front of a webcam with an acoustic guitar and play a song. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But in your case, you're putting down guitar tracks, you're creating drum tracks, you're doing other instruments, and then obviously doing the vocals on top of that. So going into this, did you come into this with this huge backlog of songs that you started with, or have you been constantly writing new ones every day?
Oh, yeah, you know, I've been just writing new ones every day for the most part. I mean, there had been some songs that I'd had laying around for years, and I'm like, I really want to, you know, record this song because I really love it. And, you know, there were days that I was just like, I planned to use it. You know, like, I'm going to record. Like, for instance, Hideaway is one that I wrote back when I was playing with you in a band.
Right.
And I loved that song, and I never actually thought I got it right.
Uh-huh.
It was one, actually, I think I actually wrote that before I even met you.
Probably, yeah. And yeah, I think you were playing that. I know you were playing it before you and I actually played in a band together. I don't know if it's, you know, because we knew each other for a few years before we actually played together. But so I don't know if it's, right. I don't know if it's, if it actually predates when you met me. But I know you were certainly playing it before you and I started working together. So,
well, actually, yeah, I think it does predate that, because the song "Burn" from the Somnostatic album,
yeah,
was written like probably like 3 days before Hideaway.
Okay, well, there you
go. And so that was like back in 99, 2000,
yeah,
ish. And I don't think we even really started playing together until,
no,
it was like 2003 or 2004.
Yeah, it was like somewhere. It was somewhere between 2002 and 2003.
Yeah,
somewhere in there. It was after I moved in with Jen, which was late 2001, and before. Well, I think it was December of 2003 when I started playing with the Soapboxes, or what would become that band. So it was somewhere in that range. And I know, because I've heard, you know, going through your archive, I know I've heard several songs that I know I had heard versions of before. So I knew you were coming into this with some songs, but you're still, you know, every day, many days you're still cranking out brand new songs.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, it's one thing to have, like, okay, this is the lyrics and the chord progression that I wrote on an acoustic guitar versus the end result.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it's like all of these songs, every single one of them was recorded in one day started in the morning and finished it by the afternoon. You know, I think the latest I've gone recording was like maybe 5 p.m.
And, you know, what is there any kind of a process that you follow, or you just kind of start and let it go till it's done? I mean, are you sitting there watching a clock and going, all right, I got to have this many tracks laid down by 3 or anything like that?
No, I'm actually kind of disappointed with myself if I'm not finished by 3.
Okay.
You know, but it's like, I essentially, you know, I get up at 7, yeah, and I go to work at 9. Got no time for living. Sorry, that's a different song.
Okay. Yeah, I think you made an interesting little mix there. No, I'd like to hear that as, you know, overlaid on each other and remix. That'd be pretty cool.
Essentially what I do is, you know, I wake up, I stumble into the kitchen, make coffee, and once I have enough in the pot to pour the first cup, then I pour it, go outside and have a smoke, and then I just sit, drink the coffee, have a cigarette, and like just contemplate what I have ahead of me. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, why did I think of this thing?
Well, yeah. And, you know, for me, I've tried doing these kind of, you know, personal challenge type things before. And I mean, I've done, you know, for several years, both Jen and I did this thing called the Pod Pomo, where you post 30 podcasts in 30 days. And honestly, I don't know, that's not really that hard. But I know that, like, through, you know, by about day 15, day 16, especially when you get into, like, day 20, I hit this point where I'm going, God damn, I don't want to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just so fucking sick.
And there was a pattern with that, too. You'd have everybody, like, bright and shiny, like five-year-old on the first day of kindergarten, going, I'm going to do this project. And they're all excited the first day. And, like, 5 shows in, they're starting to go, okay, I'm here. And I don't know what to talk about, so there's my show. You know, I mean, a lot of them are doing that. And then by 10, you're seeing people disappear and just not come back, and you never hear what happened. They just stop producing. And then by 20, everybody's voice is cracking. Everybody has a cold. Everybody's wondering how they're going to get through the next couple of days with the holiday coming up, with Thanksgiving coming up. And some of those posts are just simply sharing their thoughts about, I hope I'm not sick, I have things to do, I'm losing my voice, I hope you can hear me, here's my plan for getting around the holidays, and see you later, you know? It's kind of how those go. And then by the end, you've got people just like going, okay, I'm here.
Well, and
you know, and then it picks up in the last 3 days. Everyone's like, oh my God, I'm going to finish this thing.
And putting it kind of into the context of what Matt is doing, because I think if I tried to challenge myself to write, you know, even just one song a day for an entire week, by, you know, day 4, my songs would all be about food and, you know, whatever, anything I saw on Twitter, you know, I'd be writing songs about, you know,
someone's wrong on the internet again.
Pikachu and dinosaurs.
That's where it would start.
I mean, so how do you, I mean, where are you, you know, your whatever inspiration you're drawing from to write these songs? I mean, because your songs aren't like that. Because, like, what, you know, what I'm saying, like, essentially what I'm saying is if I tried to do that, I'd probably have 3 what I would consider to be decent to good songs. And then everything else after that would just be me, you know, writing toss-offs because I just wanted to complete the project. But in your case, you've got these, you know, actual kind of full-fledged songs, or at least that's how I hear them. So, I mean, do you have any kind of process for working out that inspiration? And do you, and then as far as that goes, do you say to yourself, okay, there's got to be at least, you know, 2 verses and a chorus and a guitar solo, or do you just kind of let it roll essentially naturally and just deal with whatever comes up?
Well, you know, when I first started the project, I kind of approached writing these songs like how I'd always done it before. Mm-hmm. Like, I pick up the acoustic guitar and I strum around until I find a chord progression I like, or like, oh, that's an interesting kind of riff. And then I would embellish it from there. After a while, it became like I didn't even want to touch my guitar. And I'm like, you know, there's only 12 notes.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and you can only arrange them in so many combinations. But then I was like, okay, yeah, there's only 12 notes, so pick one and go. So these days, what I'm basically doing is 9 times out of 10, I just open my recording program and pick the virtual instrument that I use for like a bass kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I just pick a note and I go from there, you know, and then it kind of turns into whatever it turns into. I used to like start and plan out like, okay, well today I'm going to write like a real rocker, or today I'm going to do like an acoustic song, or, you know, this is going to be like a, you know, trippy or something. But now I don't even plan that far ahead. The only thing I plan is, okay, F sharp. And then go from there. And, you know, I compose most of the stuff in my DAW before I even get to guitar or vocals or anything. Actually, the last thing I do is vocals. And what I do is, after I have the entire thing composed and arranged, you know, I don't necessarily go like, oh, I have to have this many verses or that and the bridge and blah, blah, blah. I just kind of, whatever feels right, I just do. And then I color code in my DAW each section. Like, okay, green is verses, orange is chorus, blue is a bridge. You know, and once I have all of the music done, I just sit with my notebook and pen and watch the screen and listen. And I'm like, okay, this is a verse section. And then I just start humming to myself, and then words just pop into my head and I write them down. And then I kind of refine it a little more if there needs to be, but most of the time I sing it pretty much exactly how I wrote it. And it's all spur of the moment. Just, yeah, that line sounds good and I write it down. Oh yeah, that line sounds good and I write it down. And then once that's done, then I just sing it. And almost everything is one, maybe two or three takes. Because it's like I just have to get it out.
Well, it seems to me like one of the advantages of doing this kind of project, where you are creating such a large amount of songs, you know, I'm granted it's over a long period of time, but when you give yourself the goal of doing one song a day, then, like I was kind of saying earlier about the whole premise of something like RPM Challenge, you can't really belabor it too long. You can't sit there and go, okay, well, now I'm going to spend, you know, 2 hours adjusting all the settings on the reverb plate. I mean, you...
Yeah, you know, I don't have time for any of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like over time, you know, now that I'm like almost 240 songs into it, it's like I've discovered techniques to use to like get the drums to sound how I like them, or get the guitars how I like them. Like one of the secrets for like all of my lead guitar stuff is I use Amplitude 3.
Yeah.
And I have the Collections series. So it's like my lead guitar is a Jimi Hendrix amp, and I duplicate the tracks, and then it's the November Rain sound from Slash and the Sweet Child of Mine sound from Slash.
Nice.
All right.
All three of these things layered, and to me it's the perfect guitar tone with my SG. And so I just kind of default to that, unless I want to make the guitar solo sound anything other than what I want it to sound, you know?
Right.
And well, it's like I just have these things where I just have, okay, well, I know the drums sound like this, I know that, but it's like I didn't have time all along the way to start experimenting and going, oh, I just kind of stumbled on these things. I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds great. And then, you know, I know that's one of the things in my bag of tricks production-wise to get the sound I want.
Well, one of the things that I think happens and can actually be valuable about doing this type of daily thing, and I mean, you can chalk it up to anything, it doesn't, you know, you don't necessarily have to say, well, I'm going to write 365 songs in a year. But if you do something every day, obviously it starts to become second nature. Like, I remember when the very first year that Jen and I did Napod Pomo, we, you know, every year that we've done it, we've always done it separately. And like the first year, Jen had been podcasting with me, but she had never done really any podcasting on her own.
Right. And that was the reason I wanted to start. It would force me to learn all these things.
So she went from having only the experience of, you know, sitting behind a microphone, doing a show with me, and then walking away, to recording her own audio, editing it, exporting it, uploading it, you know, all that kind of stuff that you have to do. And for me, sometimes, you know, I get bogged down, especially with music projects, where I'll get, and I think this is probably part of the reason why ultimately we didn't finish the RPM challenge, because I was sitting there going, you know, sitting there up till, you know, 2 a.m. going, okay, well, I'm gonna try one more mix of this song, and that's not really that's not the point, you know. So, yeah. But one of the benefits, as you're finding out, Matt, and just doing it every day, is okay, you sort of figure out your workflow, and you've got all these sounds set up. You know how they're gonna sound the same every time for the most part. You know what they're gonna sound like, so you don't have to worry about that, and it allows you to just get on to the next thing.
Yeah.
So, what? Now I know that with all the songs that you've done, you know, most of them are songs that have lyrics, but there have been a few that were on the instrumental tip, and you've got one that I don't entirely recall the title, but it was something about German dance robots or something.
Yeah, well, that's the title.
Okay, good.
German dance robots.
So,
you got it.
You know, so you know, but you've had a few instrumental tracks as well, and it was that just a matter of, well, I don't want to write any lyrics today, or did you just decide as you were, you know, putting your bass tracks together that, you know, well, this will probably just sound good as an instrumental?
Well, I'm sure, I think you might know from, like, some of this, I ran into a lot of stuff when I first started this project. Like, in January, I came down with a walking pneumonia.
Oh.
And, like, wow. Had to try to muddle through stuff. And so that's why, like, some of those songs are, like, my voice is so deep when I usually sing into, like, a mid to high register.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, and those songs were just like, okay, I record, like, two lines, and then I have to stop and cough a lung up, and then punch back in and record the next line. And then in February, I had an ear infection. I think you might have responded to one of my tweets. I'm like, yeah. My ears are, like, killing me. I don't know if I can even record anything, you know?
Yeah.
But it was, but it's like some of these days and some of these things I've gone through that, like, I just can't, you know, like, I didn't feel like I could get the vocal out. But then, like, an example that pops in my head is the song Ashes on the Broken Threshold. Uh-huh. Is, like, all strings. Yeah. And I started constructing it, and then I'm like, I don't think I need to sing anything over this. I just think it sounds beautiful the way it is. And, you know, it's like, if that's not a song, then nothing Mozart did was a song, so nobody can give me shit about it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with instrumental music. I happen to like instrumental music. And I'm not sure what's...
Whoa, something weird just happened with the audio.
Yeah,
there.
You're breaking up.
Wow. Is it a Skype
Mayday!
Thing?
Mayday!
Are we back?
I don't
know. Okay, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. Yeah, something really weird. Just, it seemed like a wind chime or something. That was bizarre.
I think it was, I don't know. Skype gets weird sometimes, so it's not really that important.
You got call waiting on Skype? Someone more important's calling you?
Matt, no one more important could call us right now.
Aww.
And if it was, if it just happened to be, you know, if it happened to be Bob Lefsetz was calling while I just conference him in, and I'd go,
oh,
Bob,
okay.
Bob, you inspired Matt to record an entire year's worth of songs. You should devote your whole next newsletter to it.
And then I'd be like, you suck, Bob.
Yeah, I have to say this. And for anybody that doesn't know, Bob Lefsetz is this, he's like this hyper, you know, music industry pundit guy. And I'll admit, I've never subbed to the Lefsetz letter. And he's one of these people that, you know, people that are in love with kind of the theory of marketing, or people that love the quote unquote new music industry and all that, you know, they all bow down to Lefsetz, and then I think people that actually have an ounce of intelligence don't really pay him a lot of mind. I don't know how you feel about it, Matt.
Well, at the very least, if 1 out of 10 of his newsletters makes me think about something, even if it just triggers a thought that triggers something else, that triggers something else, that gets me onto something good, that's fine. Yeah. But I don't really put a whole lot of value into what he says. I mean, one of his things was about how it's about time that they're, you know, like making sampling or considering sampling songwriting. It's like, well, what? No.
Oh, wow.
It's like, okay, if I sample George Clinton, George Clinton still wrote that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that doesn't make me, oh, yeah, I wrote this too, so we're both now the guy who wrote that.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to sampling, it's like anything else. I think that there is an art to it, but
it doesn't mean you wrote that song.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a point where, you know, extracting a part of another song and kind of building off of that is one thing, or even, as in some cases has been done, essentially just copying an entire melody from another song and then kind of placing your own song over it. I don't know. That starts to cross a line for me, but there's ways to do it and be clever about it. But yeah, when you get to the point where, you know, you're just blatantly ripping something else off and going, yo, man, I wrote that. Like, no, that's not really. That's not good.
It's kind of like the audio version of a collage, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, you didn't make those photos and you didn't make, you know, the interesting artsy paper you're using and you didn't, you know, make whatever else you've connected in there, but you did stick them all together in a way that was different, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it doesn't make you, my take, you know? It. Yeah, it's kind of like that.
It's, well, like if you took a bunch of Da Vinci paintings and cut them all up and then glued them together into some kind of strange new picture,
you'd have a Picasso and it still wouldn't be yours, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. That doesn't mean you painted those pictures, so people shouldn't treat you like you painted those pictures.
Right, right, exactly.
Well, Matt, I noticed as I was going through your songs that you had actually written and recorded right around late March, I think it was, you had written an ode to the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe you might have gotten a little publicity out of that. Is that the case? Or?
Oh, no, not at all.
No? Okay.
Nobody cared about that one.
Okay.
But it's funny, though. One of the lines in it is like something about, we listen to WGN Radio, they always have the game, or something like that.
Yeah.
And now it's like next year it's going to be on,
right,
on 780. So it's like by the end of this year that song is going to be completely obsolete.
Yeah.
But it'll have a nostalgia effect, though, you know, for everybody sure. That did yeah. Listen to it on WGN. So.
Yeah, and just to give a little backtrack here for those who aren't from the Chicago area, the Cubs for decades have been broadcast on WGN Radio, and now with all the new ownership and management changeups that have happened on both sides of that agreement, the Cubs are going to be moving to another radio station. I can't remember off the top of my head which one it is. Is it
it's WBBM.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, 780.
Yeah. So
maybe they'll get Jeff Joniak to call the balls and strikes.
Yeah, I saw that and I thought, well, first off, I don't know why I thought this, Matt, but I, for some reason, I thought you were a White Sox fan. So,
oh, that was the influence of my brother Craig.
And it's funny that you say that, because I remember seeing your brother wear a White Sox cap, and I always thought, okay, well, Matt, you know, if Matt even cares about baseball, I don't ever recall you and I ever having a conversation about that. But I figured if Matt is into baseball, he's probably a Sox fan. So.
Well, no, I mean, I kind of, you know, have the bullshit response of like, oh, no, I hope both teams do good. You know, but,
yeah.
You know, when it really, really comes down to it, gun to my head, I'm a Bears fan.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's the best answer. So what are you thinking about in terms of, I mean, you're, you know, you're. You seem like you're on track to actually complete this project. And you'll have, you know, 365 songs in the can when that's completed. And, you know, I meant to look this up and I completely forgot, but I was thinking about how, I mean, if you just kind of do the basic math, it, typically speaking, we sort of think of an album as roughly 10 to 12 songs. So yeah, you're going to have, by the time you're done, you know, you'll have roughly 30 albums or more.
Give or take.
You'll have roughly 30 albums of completed material, and that probably dwarfs artists that have been, you know, making albums for 35, 40 years at this point, if not longer. And what are you, do you have any idea what you're going to do with all this material when you're done? Are you going to kind of repackage it or revisit it, or is it just going to be, you're just going to go, well, that was my 365 songs, enjoy?
Well, I mean, there's always the chance that it's just going to be like, oh, yep, that was my statement. I gave you 365 songs. Now, whatever else I do, who cares? Or what, more likely what I'm going to be doing is, well, I've been going month by month and picking like the best hour or so of like the best of each month.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working on May and June right now. And it's, you know, I'm really liking how that's turning out. But at the very end of it, I want to pick like the best, you know, 10 to 15 songs from the entire year and make an actual album and actually re-record parts, you know, do it properly.
Yeah.
And actually have a release.
Have you been able to get any kind of publicity for this project? I mean, has anybody, you know, has it been covered anywhere? Has anybody reached out to you in regards to it? I mean, other than us, obviously.
Well, one website that has been really friendly to me is this website, melodyfusion.com.
Uh-huh.
And they did a whole write-up on me and sent out a press release about it and stuff.
Wow,
and
cool.
Yeah, it was really nice of them. I guess they're kind of like a startup company for musicians, you know, like that they want, you know, more people to like socially network their musician to musician and just even just music fans. And I think it's kind of a cool, it's a cool website and everybody seems really supportive and friendly, you know, but as far as like any kind of major media or anything, not really anything has happened yet. And, you know, I'm not like a PR kind of guy, so it's like, I don't really know where to start.
Yeah. That's always the problem with anything, and I'm very much the same way. I'm really bad at promoting things, and you know, that's one of those things that you can really go down a rabbit hole getting back to people like Lefsetz. Really, it seems like now that we're in this whole, you know, brave new world of the music quote industry, where I mean, when I first started making music at even a remotely serious level, you know, this would have been, I started playing guitar in 89, so this would have been, you know, the mid-90s, we'll just say, early to mid-90s. I mean, back then, there was only one course. You were going to go out, you were going to get a record deal, and then you were going to get famous and be on MTV or whatever. And it was going to be amazing. Well, now, it's like everybody, you know, that whole course is so almost impossible now that this whole sort of sub-industry has risen underneath it to quote-unquote support musicians, where you've got all these people going, you know, well, use these proven marketing techniques on social networks to do this and that and the other thing. And I look at all that stuff, and this is happening a lot now in podcasting as well. And I always look at a lot of that stuff and I kind of go, I don't know, this just feels wrong to me. Like, I just want to...
There is no proven technique because nobody's proven shit.
Yeah.
You know,
pretty much. Well, they've proven that they can sell people on the technique, right, and they can personally make money, but other than that...
They can take your $20,
yep,
but they haven't proven that any of this stuff works.
Right.
Because none of it works because nobody's buying shit anymore.
Exactly. Like, nobody's got money for one thing. And when
they
do have money...
The number one album was Weird Al.
Yeah.
You know, and that was only 100,000 copies.
Mm-hmm.
To debut at number one. in a country of 300 million people.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I was as taken aback by that Weird Al thing as, I mean, I love Weird Al, but I don't know his chart history, but I know obviously he never had a number one album before. And I have to think that when you have an artist of, you know, someone that you could easily describe as a legacy artist. I mean, Weird Al's been making records for 30, 35 years. He's going to draw from a fan base that is probably still mostly going out and buying CDs or, you know, download. You know, they're not using Spotify. They're not using, God forbid, BitTorrent or whatever. I mean, they're actually, at the very least, they're buying the music from, you know, kind of a tier one level, whether it's Target or iTunes or whatever. So that's how
you
an artist...
they're all going to Sam Goody?
yeah, Camelot Record Town.
Oh my.
Camelot Records.
Music Land, right?
Tape Land. Tape World. Uh-huh. God, I remember all those stores. I used to love going to, you know, all those places, and they're all gone now. Mm-hmm. We're fortunate here in San Luis that we still have two decent independent music retailers that seem to be doing okay. One of them has diversified a lot. They've gotten a lot into comic books and games.
Yep.
And the other one has a little bit too. They've gotten more into collectibles and things like that, but not like vintage collectibles. You know, you go in and they've got all the CDs and all that. And
then they've got like bobbleheads of the Beatles,
exactly,
and, you know,
yeah,
stuff that like that.
All the Walking Dead bobbleheads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's like, oh, this will be worth something in 30 years.
So, sure. Yeah, right.
No.
Yeah, no, it won't. Mm-hmm. It won't. But I feel this frustration and the sadness for, you know, so many people I know who are embarking on creative endeavors right now, because we're in this zone where you can, if you have the right stuff, whatever that is, which nobody can really put a finger on what it is, you can theoretically find an audience who will support you, you know, the whole 1,000 true fans and all that. I'm sure, Matt, you've probably come across that theory by now.
Yeah, but you know what? That's bullshit, too. Because yeah. there is no right stuff. There is no
right
magic number. Mm-hmm. You know, and artists or supposed artists don't need to worry about that. You just do what you do, and you survive.
Right.
And if it works, it works. And if somebody wants to hear it, great. If nobody wants to hear it, what else are you going to do? Are you going to not do it? And if you have another option, then you're not meant to do this.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, and I'm seeing this now, you know, a lot in podcasting, where we've, you know, podcasting is officially, you know, kind of recognized as in its 10th anniversary this year. And
wow.
So we've seen...
Now I feel old.
We've seen this we've seen this thing go from kind of this sort of, you know, very hobbyish type activity to now it's sort of coming into its own as a quote-unquote industry, and you're finding that people are... There's people out there that are trying to come up with the, you know, A plus B fits into slot C, 1 plus 2 formula.
That's what she should.
So that...
There you go.
So that, you know, you can then start a podcast and become a millionaire, and it's like, no, you really can't do that, and it's kind of the wrong reason to do it. I mean, you can make money at podcasting just like you can make money at music, but it's not very easy to become rich at it, because it's really not that easy to become rich at a lot of things unless, you know, you can just become like a Wall Street banker or something and just steal everyone else's money.
If you want to be rich, be a banker.
Right.
Right.
You know, if you want to create art, be an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you have no choice,
yeah, that's,
but to be an artist,
right,
then you have to be an artist, and you have to deal with all the ups and downs that come with that.
And that's kind of the thing that a lot of people don't really get. I mean, when you're driven to create something, no matter what it is, then you're driven to create it, and you're going to do it really no matter what. I mean,
yeah,
there's going to be, you know, there's going to be certain things that maybe are going to get in your way, but you're going to figure out a way to go around that eventually. And the people that come into something like this and go, okay, well, I'm going to, you know, I've done all the research and I know what the perfect formula is, and in 6 months I'm going to be rich off of this. You know, that just, I mean, I'm sure that once one out of every 1,000 of those hits, but I think most of the time it fails.
Yeah.
It's probably more one out of like 100,000.
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
And if you need a gimmick to get ahead, then you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, that's another thing too that I see, especially with, you know, it gets back to this whole kind of marketing and social media thing, and I don't want to begrudge anybody their techniques, but I know when.
Oh, I do.
All right.
All right.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, I know when I get followed by someone who's using some sort of automated system to find me, and then I know not to follow them back. Good example of this is I have in my bio that I'm an audio editor, podcaster, you know, musician, guitar player on Twitter, and that I noticed about a week and a half ago, there was this big podcasting conference down in Dallas, which I did not attend. But I noticed that all of a sudden, I got this influx of followers, and in their bios, it was all, you know, podcasting, entrepreneur, blah, blah, blah. And I think what happened is all these, you know, all these entrepreneur types, they went to this conference and they wanted to make sure that, you know, they connected to everybody. So they just went to their Twitter robot or their virtual assistant or whatever and said, follow everybody that has podcaster in their bio. And I mean, I could just look at their tweets and I could see that this was all just a bunch of fake automated shit. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I didn't follow any of them back. And in fact, I made a few snarky tweets, and I had a conversation with someone who said, well, you know, none of those people are going to respond to you. Because what I said was, the first one of these entrepreneurs that gives me a job is the first one I'll follow back. And someone said, well, you know, none of them are going to actually see that. And I said, well, I'm giving them the opportunity to prove that's wrong. And surprisingly, I didn't get any responses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So in fact, shocking. I got someone who didn't follow me, who had the same profile of, you know, entrepreneur, tech, new media guy. He favorited it, but I'm thinking it was the same thing. Like, he was just He was using a robot to...
Well, you had the keywords, right? So the robot found
it. He was using a robot to favorite it so that I would see the favorite, see the profile, and then
and go,
oh,
this person must like what I write. I think I will follow them now.
You know what, Sean? I get that every single day.
Yeah.
I get like 5 accounts that follow me every time I post a song, and they all claim to be A&R for Columbia Records.
Oh, God.
And it's like, Columbia Records doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
See, I don't get that as much, man. I don't, because my Twitter thing, I think it says writer, poet, podcaster, gamer. It's pretty vague, right? And once in a while, I'll get, you know, some podcasters following me, but I think they're following me because I'm doing a certain project right now, you know. But the gamer one is starting to get like automated things, you know, like I'm getting followed by podcasts I've never heard of, you know, and it's cool because I mean, hey, maybe I'll listen to them at some point, or it's nice to at least know, you know, hey, there's a show that does this. But a lot of them, I don't know who they are. They vaguely follow someone I have followed in the past or are currently following. I don't know that their show matches something I'm doing, you know. So I'm starting to get some of those, and it's kind of okay. I don't really mind yet. I don't think they're trying to sell me anything yet, but I'm wondering when it's going to get to that point, you know. And I've got a screenshot from Diablo 3 as my main, you know, header, because that's the game I play the most, right? And I figure this is going to weed out the people that are going to automatically be offended by that, so that's pretty cool.
Can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
I know you guys played the Diablo 3 a lot.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I can't wrap my head around paying to play a game and paying to get the program in the first place.
Well, hold on, Jen. Hold on.
Go ahead.
In the case of Diablo, you only pay once.
Oh, okay.
World of Warcraft has a subscription fee, but for Diablo, you just buy the game.
Buy the box, and you're good. Okay, okay. Until they have an expansion, and they've only had one.
So. You can either just buy the you can go to the store and buy the buy the actual software, or you can just get it all online.
Yeah, you can buy it through.
I retract my criticism.
Yeah, no, it's a fair criticism though. It's fair because there are ones that are subscription as well.
Well, I started playing that Star Wars one, and just because I love Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, man, to get past level 50, you get a pie. You get a pay.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now I'm on a server with everybody's level, 700. They just walk up to me and stab me in the eye with their lightsaber.
Oh, geez,
and I'm like, well, this isn't fun.
Right, yeah. I mean, it can get like that. Since. But Diablo is not like that. And it's the kind of game where you're going to find people at every level of the game,
Okay.
And it's also the kind where, there are some people that make one character and, max it out as much as they can, and that's the one they're going to do, and they're happy. And then there's others who want to, max out all their characters, so you'll find people at different levels. Maybe they're not a new player, but they've got a new little character, and so you can run with them if you want.
The other thing, too, about Diablo is you can... Well, first off, there's no true PvP in the game, so you can't... If you're just playing the game on your own and you just want to be, just by yourself, well, first of all, you can set up a private game so no one can find you.
You can.
But also there's never an instance in the game where
you're not going to get killed by another player by someone jumping out and getting you. Okay. You could get killed by another player if they want to be really mean and they want to let a new person into their game, and then the game difficulty is based on the level of the players that are in that game. So if you've got a really high player and a really low player, you're going to have monsters in the game you encounter that are going to be probably too high for that low player, Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to be really, really mean, they can let you in their game, go running through a mob that they know is not going to help you at all, that you can't do, and you'll die. But if you're not playing, if you're playing just the regular version, you just kind of get up and keep going or whatever. But if you're playing a hardcore game, when you die, it's kind of like the old video games. You're dead. That's it. Make a new character.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's a challenge. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of old school video games, you guys will never guess what I just did.
What'd you do?
I found, a treasure trove of Super Nintendo games.
Oh, cool.
Like actual carts?
No, just the ROMs.
The ROMs, okay.
But it's like every Super Nintendo game that has ever come out.
I found Mario the other day.
Well, I spent 6 hours playing Wheel of Fortune Deluxe.
Oh, fun.
For no fucking reason other than the fact that I had it.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I know that there's online versions of the old Pokemon games that used to be on Game Boy.
Oh, yeah.
I know those are out there.
Well, just get an emulator and you can...
Yeah, exactly.
That's something...
Is that illegal?
I don't know. We have a term
It's not like you can buy it. It's not like they're making more of them.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like Nintendo gets anything if you go to GameStop and buy an old Game Boy cartridge.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, I don't know. I've never looked into that part. But.
We have a term for that. We call it extra legal.
Oh, extra legal.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, ultra legal?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's exceedingly legal.
Exactly. Like, it's not illegal.
Exceedingly legal would be along the lines of this bankers you're talking about. Oh, we're exceedingly legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're so legal, we write the laws.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are the law. We're so legal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
We digressed on
to we were gonna, But getting kind of back into what we were talking about a little bit before we kind of went off on a tangent.
Weird Al.
Yeah, somewhere before that or around there, I guess. The concept of there's this formula you have to follow in order to succeed with something that's a creative endeavor, that's totally all over the online writing thing, too. It totally is, and I know you guys could probably figure that out, but I've been experimenting with that a bit. I tried, I got involved with a website temporarily that was one of these, okay, you've got a topic and you're going to write this topic, now go market it, and if you get enough funding, you can write, And it didn't work for me at all. At all. It has worked for other people, but it wasn't one that worked for me because I'm not a marketer, And it was one of these okay, send emails to all of your friends. Send between 25 and 40 emails. I'm like, I don't email 25 people.
I don't even know 25 people.
I know. Yeah. It's like, this is ridiculous. And
That reminds me of Kindergarten Cop for some reason.
There must have been something in there with, I don't know that many people.
No, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he's has to take over for his partner who was supposed to be the kindergarten teacher.
Mm-hmm, right, right.
You know, while they're undercover.
Right.
And so he decides to use his police whistle and gets all the kids convinced. They're like, okay, well, you respond to my whistle and you have to do this. And this one little girl wouldn't go along with it. And mm-hmm. he's like blowing the whistle. He's like, get your toy, bring it to the carpet. And she's like, I'm a princess, not a policeman. Do it now.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I'm like, I'm a creator, not a marketer.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and right. I didn't know, like, when I got, I'm not blaming them or anything. I'm just
and
saying
then,
this
like,
is
like, everyone's
my,
going,
you know.
Do it now!
Uh-huh, right. Yeah, send all this right. out. And they had a formula, you know, and it was like, first you got to send emails, and then later those guys are going to be your base, and they'll maybe, you know, kick in some now, and they'll kick in more later when you're starting to get to the end of the, you know, time frame you can fundraise and all this kind of stuff. And it just, you know, and I'm looking on, you know, Twitter, and I'm like, there's so many people looking for money in a fundraiser kind of thing right now. And it's not just writers. It's like all kinds of creative Everything. Projects, people who have health problems that are trying to raise money for medical bills, you know, just all these things, you know, and I'm going, there is no way in hell this is going to work for me.
You know? Yeah, it's like, I have leukemia, please help. Well, I wrote this really cool song and I think I can get it on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like, who are you going to donate to?
Well, for me, it was even worse. It was like, donate money and I'll write something. You know, I mean, it just, like, you couldn't see any of my work through that particular endeavor at all, you know? And it just didn't work for me. And I remember, you know, it was also a subscription-based model. So you're not just saying, oh, here's a dollar, go. You're like, you know, you're giving that dollar every month now until I don't know when. And not everybody wants to do that, you know? Yeah. And it was just kind of weird. So, I mean, I gave it a try. It didn't work. Okay. I know it worked for some other people. I know some large writing news sites, kind of, let's say, in various topics, sort of backed a writer to do this or that, or to write this or that. And that worked because they already had a huge audience because of the big website. You know?
Yeah.
Goddamn, well, big writing.
I know. I mean, it was okay. You know, and then it wasn't even like the big, you know, but it wasn't New York Times or anything like that. But
there's one axiom to all this stuff that holds true no matter what you're doing, whether it's writing or music or whatever. It always helps if you can be famous first.
And that's what I think is true with this one. You know, if I had a million people,
you gotta make money to scam people out of money.
Yeah, you know, and this was really weird too, the way it went, because it wasn't even like, here's my song, enjoy. If you like, you know, you can give me a dollar. It was, give me a dollar and I'll write something. You know, and it was weird to me. It felt weird.
That's almost what people expect now, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this site called Patreon.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is what I want to do. So if you give me $5 a month, I'll give you this. And like in my case, it'd be like, okay, I'd write 5 songs and you can have them for free to listen to.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong way to use Patreon, though. Like I've seen some other sites do it where it was a woman who had a lot of cartoons, like a lot of comics she was drawing, and a lot of them had to do with like healthcare and sexuality related topics, and her website had to do with, you know, this kind of thing. And she sometimes had guest comics that would come in, you know, and draw something related to this topic. She was using the Patreon to get enough money so she could actually pay these guest writers something. You know, but they were already producing it and there was already a bunch of content there. And a history.
You know, how do
you
convince people though to do that though? Like if we're like, okay, well, you're already doing it. We already know we can get it for free.
Well, I think with her, it was, okay, you're already getting me for free, but you like some of these other guest comics that come in, and if you want to see more of their work here, you know, because they're not really posting it anywhere else, then...
I understand that, but I mean, it's like, how do you convince people?
Well, she had a huge audience.
There you go. Well,
and she's got a niche. She's writing about, she does reviews of sex toys and writes comics about different aspects of sexuality and healthcare and things.
Right there.
You know?
It's about sex toys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, write more about the dildos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she does it really well done. It's not like, it's not smutty and it's not, you know.
Well,
it's
and
not
that's
icky.
Sound clip in the future.
Yeah, we'll clip that
sure,
out.
Sure, why not? You know?
That's
okay.
That's,
wait. Do you want it? You want me to do it better, and then you can
clip
it out.
All right, everybody. All right, everybody. Hold for Everybody hold on three, and then Matt, you just do that, okay, Jen?
Okay.
Yep.
One, two, three.
Write more about the dildos.
Perfect.
Oh, that's right. Awesome.
Let me mark the file here at about 5628.
That's okay. Good. But you know, I was seeing that
I hope that's like a staple of hyper nonsense.
It might be, you know.
In perpetuity.
Why not, you know? But I'm, you know, I'm seeing like Patreon work that way kind of for people who already have an audience and a niche, you know. But
what I like about Patreon or where I think it could be useful if you're doing something like a podcast is simply just to say, well, if you like this enough to give us some money on a regular basis, here you go. And maybe do something like do bonus show or whatever bonus thing a month or something like that. I don't know. I see, you know, there's...
Oh, I totally see that because it's like that was what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Was like, okay, you know, this is what I'm doing anyway. And if you feel like supporting, you know, hey, $5 a month will keep me able to change my guitar strings at a regular basis.
Right.
Yeah. And it's something people can understand. Like, okay, strings break. Of course he needs this, you know?
Anytime you're doing any of this kind of stuff, there's always those, you know, recurring costs. And, you know, we have them doing a podcast as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I would love is for, and Patreon is the first one of these services that I've seen that I think does it better than any other service, because ultimately what I think would be good for all of us, no matter what the size of our audience is just to have a mechanism whereby if someone can say, well, you know, I want to support them more than just, you know, following them on Twitter or whatever, but I don't have a lot of disposable income, but I can give, you know, $2 a month or $5 a month, or if somebody has the money, maybe they can give $20 a month or more, whatever the case may be. And I'm starting to see this kind of model mature a little more in podcasting. But I think it could work for anybody who's really creating anything. And I think for what we're doing, that is probably a better model than trying to do it in the sense of, okay, here's my Patreon. If it doesn't, you know, if my funding doesn't reach goal level X, then this whole thing's going away. That's more for like a Kickstarter or whatever.
Right. Well, you know, if you think about it, it's like they built the name off of the term patron.
Right.
Right.
And it's like, you know, people like Beethoven and Mozart really couldn't have done what they did if it weren't for rich people paying them to do what they did.
Right. Yeah. I mean, know? It's true.
And it's like, it's the reason we still hear of the Beatles is because rich people, paid to have their records.
That's true.
Distributed amongst the people. They made a profit on it, but, mm-hmm. you know, but still, it's like Beatles wouldn't have been the Beatles if they had to work in today's environment.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, oh, yeah, those guys have some good songs. And then it's like 12 people would have heard of them. And
yeah.
And those 12 people would be really excited to find one of the other 12 people going, I know that band.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
But that would be it. And but everyone that, else would
miss
out.
That's how we live today, you know? Yeah. So it's like, you know what? And to me, it's just like, you know, fuck it all. I'm doing what I'm doing. I have no other choice. I'm doing it. And if people want to listen, awesome. If people want to donate to it, even awesomer-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody cares, I'm still going to have to do what I'm doing because what else am I going to do? Work at Walmart?
Yeah. See, I get that. Like,
welcome to Costco. I love you.
Here's my song.
Yeah, and hand out CDs.
I know.
To everyone coming in.
Yeah, I get that because, I mean, I feel like that with writing. I write a lot. I write all day long. I write about a bunch of stuff all over the place. And some of it's for pay, but not everything. And
have you ever considered writing more right-wing articles? That seems to be where the big bucks are.
Yeah.
I've noticed this. I'm doing a different site now that is one of these.
Did you know that Obama is a Kenyan lizard person?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And the lizards are Muslims. And, right. You know, yes. The lizards weren't born in the United States either, you know.
Oh, of course not.
I could do it in the voice of Sarah Palin and record it. Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's it. We could put it out as a podcast.
There we go. I imitate her all the time because she annoys me.
Okay,
come on, let's have your Sarah Palin impersonation.
Okay, so this is Sarah Palin, and I have my own channel now, so you all can come and see the truth about everything that you're not getting from the media, the liberal media. You can find it on the internet. Yeah, it's on the internet, and you have to pay for a subscription, but you know, it's all the truth that you're not getting out there. That's as close as I can get at the moment.
Yeah,
forgot to say the lamestream media.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I've heard her use that, but she's used liberal before. So.
Oh, she said lamestream media. Like,
did she?
All up and down like the last like 2-3 years.
Oh, God. I've missed it. I must have stopped paying attention.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
See, I can't stop paying attention because I'm a sponge and I just absorb anything that happens around me. Aww. And I wish I didn't know. Like, people are like, how do you know the lyrics to the Spice Girls song? Because I heard it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It sticks in my head. I sing and play guitar. I absorb things.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that, you know. But I've
not
noticed
that,
like,
I want to know it.
Oh, I know. Really? You know? But I've noticed I'm doing this other site, and it's one of these get paid by the page click kind of things, you know. And I've done them before, and they've had mixed success, right? And I feel like I'm not doing great on this one, you know? And I'm looking around to see, well, what are people reading, you know? What are people here looking at? And there's one of two things. One of them is basically people write about the site itself and how to succeed, you know? So that's
total
the
meta.
follow my steps, you know, thing, and you'll make money. It's that, uh-huh, okay?
That one of those, yeah.
And the other half seems to be a whole lot of stuff about God. And,
you should write an article that says 6 easy ways to get to God. And then just link them to my song project.
Well, no, it should
then
be
everyone will be like, oh my God, yes, here's, take my money.
Mm-hmm.
We go. No,
I'll split it 50-50 with you.
it would be better if it was 6 easy ways to get to God and profit, as in profit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
so
we need to find some titles of your songs that could be interpreted that way.
All right.
I will totally do this. I will totally do it.
All right.
Well, yeah, there's probably tons of them.
Yeah, I'll totally do it. Mm-hmm.
So,
You know, it's like that South Park thing where Cartman just like rewrites all the love songs to be about Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, you sent me your song that you posted for today.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to play it here. So why don't you tell me or tell us a bit about the song?
It came together like zero effort. I just picked up the guitar and on a whim threw the capo on the second fret of the acoustic guitar. And I just start playing. And I'm just like, man, that sounds beautiful. And that was like how I used to write songs before this god-awful, hellish project sucked me in and made me get all like synthesizing and technologicaling. I'm sorry, I digress. But
this show is full of digression. It's fine. That's what we do here.
I just picked up the guitar and I started playing. I'm like, man, that's a really good chord progression. And I just started singing. And it's like, I don't know. It's like if you actually had the time and took the time to listen through a lot of it, you can probably tell some of the days where I'm like a little more listless in my vocals,
mm-hmm,
or I'm just like, okay, I'm done. I just want to get this done, you know, but I still try hard, you know, but I'm just like, I don't have that oomph. But today was like one of these days where it was just like everything just pulled together perfectly. And I couldn't be happier about this song.
And what's the name of the song, Matt?
We Are Loved.
All right, let's hear it. And Matt, just hold on, and we'll be back with you after the song, right?
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Sams on the Hyper Nonsense Show. That was a really beautiful song, Matt.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Let's see what the Sweet Pickles Kid thinks.
I think it's excellent.
See, you can add that to
thanks, Sweet Pickles Kid.
You can add that to your press kit now, Matt.
Oh, I'm totally going to add that to my press kit. If I had a press kit.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't that like one of the first like five things you're supposed to do to make it in music?
You know, right after you email 25 to 40 people.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not a marketer.
Exactly. None of us are.
I never said I was going to market it.
That's true.
I said I was going to write, record, and release a song every day.
That's
and
right.
You're doing it. Mm-hmm.
I didn't be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on Larry King tomorrow.
I really wonder what he would ask you.
You know? He'd be like, what's up with this crazy internet today, huh? With this music, huh?
Yeah, he'd ask me about ISIS.
Probably.
Maybe.
And then I'd be like, well, those guys suck.
There you go.
I'm like, well, unless they're listening now, I'm like, party on, Wayne. Just don't behead me, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's some scary shit out there.
All right. So, Matt, this was, as we said earlier, song number 239.
Yeah.
A little earlier, though, was it this month? What month are we in? We're in August, right?
We're in August.
So, a little earlier this month, you actually invited me to play on one of your songs.
Hells to the fucking yes.
And, so I cut a few guitar tracks for you. And we are going to include that song. It'll be on after the show, so everybody stick around if you want to hear that. And, it was funny, Matt, earlier you were
talking...
I think
you should just play it, like, on repeat for the next 20 minutes. Just make everybody listen.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like when we do live shows, that's what we'll do. It'll just be like a photo of our studio and Matt's songs just going.
Well, one day, one of my dreams is to just have, my own, audio live stream, curated live stream that just runs 24/7. So maybe one day we'll just devote to just that one track. But
hey, you know what? I may actually be DJing over at the Madame Zuzu's Tea House in Highland Park over here.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, cool.
Within the next week or two.
Do you have to run all of your, all of your song selections through Billy Corgan, or does he give you some slack?
No, I asked him personally, and he's like, yeah, come on, play whatever you want.
Cool.
Ooh, and nice.
So it's
nice.
Like, hell yeah.
Well, it's funny, Matt, earlier, when you were talking about your process of putting a song together, and you happened to say, well... Okay, here's a note to start on F sharp, and the song that I played on for you starts in F sharp. And what I realized as I was cutting those guitar tracks, what I realized is I ain't never done in my whole life played a solo in F sharp. I was like, I could not find the notes, I couldn't find the notes anywhere on the neck that sounded good. And I kept struggling with it and struggling with it. And as Jen can probably attest, I was in here she was in here while I was cutting the tracks. So, I would sit there. And
she's like, nope, start over.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She was directing me. No.
I've never done that.
No, I was sitting here, I was sitting here and I'd play a line and I would go, shit, I'd play another line and I'd go, fuck.
Why
and I'd
are you
be
even
like,
trying?
Be like, this is shit. On. Just constantly swearing and over and over again. And then finally, I found what sounded to me like the notes. And then some of the parts, I think the solo I played in the middle is fine, but I think some of the other stuff, when I listened back to it after it was all mixed down, I went, oh boy, I don't know if that's on key or not, but whatever, putting it out to the wind, not belaboring it, like I said earlier, and ultimately it's your project.
You
could have,
I suck at mixing.
You could have, you, saying. Well, maybe.
Well, I don't know if that
maybe
fits. I think,
well,
you
what I'm saying is I think those parts I played when I played them first, I thought they were right, but then I thought, well, maybe they're not actually in the right key, but it doesn't matter because
you start second guessing.
Maybe Matt sucks at mixing.
We're not,
you should have cut that out.
We're not belabor, we're not
what
here
kind
to belabor.
What producer are you?
One thing that I will say is when I sent you the email, and I said, here's the tracks, you can go, get them off the Dropbox. I said, in the email, I said, you can do whatever you want. You can cut these up. You can reamp them. You can re whatever you want to them.
Oh, I reamped.
That was my. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you ran them through your slash.
Oh yeah, I slashified you.
That's fine. That's fine.
And it was beautiful. It actually kind of. Don't tell anybody, but it kind of made me like feel like a little tingly.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I had fun
you,
doing
you
that.
You can edit that part out, right?
No, I'm actually going to.
Yeah.
No, I'll probably leave that in. In fact, I'll probably cut that out to use as a sound clip later on. But
see, you're popular in our show.
That's right.
Woo! Your words will live on, just maybe not the ones you would have selected.
Hey, you know what? You guys could probably like call me up anytime, and I just give you a sound bite that you could use.
All right.
What? Yeah, that could be your new, you know, that could be a new service you provide, man. You could just be the soundbite machine. You know, just call me up and I'll give you something good for your show.
Oh my God, that's so much easier than writing a song every day.
365 soundbites.
Yeah, all I have to do is just drink some rum and ramble.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, yeah.
Well, I will say this, you know.
Feel free to use that one too.
I had fun doing that, and you know, I'm glad I was able to contribute, however small that was, in this grand scheme of things, to your overall project. And it was funny, you know, you'd asked me, I don't even remember, I think maybe back in June, if I'd be willing to do that. And I said, oh, sure, you know, as soon as I get all these other things together. And then after actually spending some time, you know, with my gear and getting some patches together, I thought sounded good enough. I finally went, you know what, I just have to do this. Because that's my thing about getting back to belaboring things. I'll sit there and, you know, obsess over the details forever and not actually do it. So,
well, you know, it was kind of fun, though, that you did that, because I sent you to the track and then I didn't have to do anything until you sent it back.
So you got to take a break.
Oh, yeah. I got to, you know, just like lounge around, watch TV, play some video games. And just, or as you would say, Vidya games.
Vidya games, yeah.
Vidya games.
Yep.
And then I'm like, check my email. Oh, yeah, Sean sent the guitar track back. And then I go back in and I'm like, yeah, back to work, motherfucker. And I, you know, nail it all out and have to mix it all down and then get it up before midnight, which, you know, happened like probably around, what, I don't know, 6 or 7 my time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had like 7 or 8 hours to spare.
Well,
but it's like I was done with all my parts by the time, I don't know, by 11 a.m.
Well, like I said, I was happy to do it, and you know, I'd be happy to do it again. So if you come across another track, I don't think I could do it every day.
I'll just say that tomorrow.
So
get your guitar fingers warmed up.
All right. I'll just record it. I'll record a solo tonight, and we'll hope that it all goes well.
Yeah, just tell me what key your solo's in, then I'll write a song
about it. Yeah, apparently it'll do, you know?
So, Matt, let everybody know where they can find you online, anywhere you'd like to promote.
Aha. All right. Here we go. Okay. First of all, you can follow me on Twitter, which all my shebangs go to. It's the @somnistatic, SOMNISTATIC. Did I spell that right? No, I didn't.
I think you did.
I don't know. Did
I? It sounded right to me. We'll have a
Somni static.
Yes. Well,
static.
We'll,
like, you know, when you turn your TV to the wrong channel and there's static. Oh wait, no, everybody has cable now. It's just blue screen.
Yeah.
God damn these youngsters. All right, here's the easiest part. It's Matt Sams, MATT. SAM as in Matt Sams, s.bandcamp.com.
Okay. And you're also, every time you release a new song, you're also posting on your blog, yeah?
Oh, yes, my WordPress account. That thing. Yeah, it's MatthewSams.wordpress.com.
All right. So those are
MatthewSams.wordpress.com. And I've actually been getting more followers on that than I have on Twitter or Facebook.
Wow. Well, that's good.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's like people are just like, hey, you're writing about writing songs. And I'm like, well, no, I'm writing songs and then writing about it.
Well, they kind of got the main sort of genre there. So
yeah. Well, you know, Today was the first time I've ever been reblogged.
Nice.
Wow, nice.
I've never been reblogged before. It was kind of like an emotional experience and a little scary. And I don't know how I feel about that yet.
There's a lot of things in life like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's like two or three things like that in life.
Yeah.
Being reblogged is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll, as always, we'll have links to all that in our show notes, and I guess we should pick our keynote for this, our keynote. That's something else entirely. We already talked about keynotes.
Oh, not Kino from Stargate Universe?
No, not that at all.
Do you know what I've been talking about there?
I don't know what a Stargate is.
You don't know what a Stargate is?
I know what a Stargate is, but I don't know that show. I've never watched a Stargate.
You watched every single episode.
Matt, I haven't watched TV in 10 years. I don't know anything that goes on TV.
You have Netflix.
That's true.
I have Netflix, and you want to know what I watch on it? I just watched all the seasons of Futurama.
That's true. He did. Yes.
So
Futurama's a solid show.
It is. So,
but now watch Stargate though.
I'll put it in my queue.
Do it.
Okay. And so for our keynote for this episode, I think we'll just put it as Matt, M-A-T-T, right? That's easy to remember. So yeah. if you go to hypernonsense.com/Matt, then you'll get the full show notes for this episode. We'll have all the links to Matt's various web properties where you can keep track of his
properties.
His many exploits.
I don't own any of them. I just happen to occupy them.
So
it's not like I'm paying them for the privilege.
You're just a mere web squatter until they sell all that shit to Google and Google wraps it with ads and or kills it entirely.
Yeah, and then I hire a lawyer and send out the cease and desists forever.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matt. Well, it's been fun talking to you. Thanks for being on our pod.
Well, thank you very much for having me, because you guys are awesome and I listen to you all the time. And I've listened to you guys all the time because you guys are like totally awesome and everybody loves you.
Aww.
And then I want like you guys to like always be loved, and I'm going to share it with everyone. And now I'm crying. Oh,
oh my gosh. I think we started a religion.
Yeah. It's hyper nonsensism, which is pretty much religion.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Well, no, we used to have I came with this idea a while ago. It was universal religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which is where you claim that you follow every major religion so you can take all the days off from work.
Ooh. So, can I send you a self-addressed stamped envelope?
Yeah, we'll send you a brochure, or we may just keep your stamp.
Okay. Well, use it for whatever. Pay your phone bill or whatever.
That's right. Right. So thank you, Matt. And we'll maybe check in with you towards the ender-ish of the year times and see how we'll see how many record deals you've amassed, how much wealth and fame. If you'll still be on our little podcast, of course.
Oh, well, you know, the A&R guys are just knocking down my door, so.
All right. Well, thanks, Matt. I'm going to end this call, and then we're going to finish up the show, and then everybody stay tuned. We're going to put that other song at the end of the show as well. So,
you know, that's the equivalent of like a guy at a party talking to another guy and go, "You know, I'm going to walk around for a little bit now." So, thanks a lot.
Aww.
I'm just kidding. You guys have a great rest of your show, and I love you both, and I'm going to listen forever until you guys decide to stop talking.
Okay. We love you too, man. Have a good rest of your night.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
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 All right, well, that was fun and educational.
That was a lot of fun. That was really fun.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Matt, for being a guest on our show.
And for being you, because that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I will say, you know, I've known Matt now for 15 years, and roughly 15, and I love Matt. I love his spirit. And, you know, I used to joke with myself that I would be, you know, if everybody that I ever played in a band with And I don't know, that probably ranges from somewhere from 10 to 20 people if you put the whole history of it together. But I used to joke that, you know, I would be the winner as long as I kept doing it longer than anyone else. But in terms of music, Matt is the winner because he is the one who's still doing it. And he's certainly proving that by doing 365 songs in a year, which if I tried to commit to something like that, I think, as I said earlier, you know, I would probably run out of ideas in the first few days. But not only that, I think the anxiety would drive me up the wall. Because, well, that's just how I am. But mm-hmm. I'm really impressed with Matt, and I'm proud of him that he's sticking with it and having a good sense of humor about it, for lack of a better term. But also, I really think he is putting his heart into it. And, you know, there are lots of people that are always doing, as I've said earlier, a lot of people are always doing these kind of projects. And, you know, it usually is one person with an acoustic guitar in front of a webcam, and Matt is actually
so much more than that. He's got so many layers in the song, and it just flows, and it's not just here's my acoustic and I'm going to play this song for you. You know, it's way more than that.
So please, everybody, support Matt and do go check out his project, and we'll again have all those links in the episode. So we're really at about the usual time when we end the show, so a lot of the usual stuff we'll just put off for another week, unless you have anything you wanted to particularly share.
No, I'm good.
All right, then. In that case, thank you for listening. HyperNonsense.com is our website, and you can find everything about us and our pod there. You can follow us at HyperNonsense on Twitter, and we'll know if you're a robot. So we probably won't follow you back if we know you're a robot.
If you're the Mars rover, we might.
Yeah, we'll definitely follow the Mars rover. I still haven't asked NASA if we could be the first pod on Mars. I need to get working on that.
Let's find somebody that's like young and knows what a podcast is and ask them.
Yeah, we'll have to find the interns at NASA and try to work up from there.
Right. Or the guy that they were, when they were launching the rover, he had a mohawk and everybody kept looking at him.
Yeah.
I bet he knows what a podcast is.
Yeah. So you can find us on various pod locales, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, we're all there. And you can also, as always, go to our website. You can listen to the show straight off the web. Doesn't matter if you're on a mobile device or your desktop, computes, whatever you got, those players will work, guaranteed. You just tap them, click them and tap them. And you can also get show updates through email. So if you go to hypernonsense.com/subscribe, all of those options are there, including the email. Just put your email address in, and then whenever we release a new show, bam, you get automatically updated. You also get the full show notes that way. So if you if you're really desperate to get all those links, like we talked about, that's one easy way to do it. So thanks again for listening to our humble little show, and with any luck, we'll be back with you next week.
Bye, people.
just tweeted.
You just tweeted?
Yeah.
What did you tweet?
Oh, well, I just said that I was going to be on your podcast in a few minutes.
Awesome.
Cool. If only we were broadcasting this live, which we're not.
Which we're not. Yeah. Maybe eventually.
Yeah, I also said I hope I don't sound like an ass.
Well, if you do, we can edit and make you Sweet. Sound better.
That's right.
No worries.
We have the new de-assification plugin.
Sweet.
De-asser.
Right.